Amen. Good morning, everybody. Let's try it again. Say, look at your neighbor and say, you look awesome today. Turn the other side and say, you look good too. Amen. Thank you so much. Nobody even looked at me. That's a shame. All right. Glad you're here today. We are in our final installment of Fearless Giving, the Generous Way. And we want to talk about in this last installment, not a fear about giving or these terrible ideas about, man, they're talking about giving again, but to understand what God's heart is about, sharing what he's given to us and doing it in such a fearless way that we're able to do abundantly above more than we can even think or even ask. Over the last couple of weeks, we were talking, and I want to share with you some of the thoughts we had. We, in our first week together, we talked about what generosity was. And I want to kind of explain what that is. If you didn't get it, I want you to write this down. This is an incredible understanding. Generosity is giving or sharing in abundance without hesitation. Isn't that awesome that you can give without even thinking twice about giving? That's a generous person. And not only that, it is a readiness to give above what is strictly necessary or expected. If you want to find out whether you're a generous person, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, hey, do I just give what's expected, or do I go above and beyond? And that was what we learned in our first week. And we learned that the enemy of generosity is fear. Fear is like the greatest enemy. In fact, we learned about this snake. How many remember the snake? It's called the Gabon viper. Anybody remember the snake? The Gabon viper. Now the Gabon viper is very unique because, I mean, you should know, there was a guy in Central Florida got bit by one a couple weeks ago. He had it as a pet. And you should know better than to have this snake as a pet because its official name is called Bitis garbonica. Now, don't get anything with Bitis in its name. And so it got bit. Well, here's the thing. This is a fatal bite from this snake. What it does, it goes through your bloodstream, attacks the heart, and causes it to become paralyzed. Well, here's the thing about fear. Fear is like poison to our faith. It's like poison to our faith. And what does it do? If you're afraid of something in one area of your life, it will seep into the whole system of your faith and bleed into other areas until your heart gets paralyzed. And then you can't believe what God's trying to do for you. Your generosity gets paralyzed. Well, here's what we want to do. We learned that in the first week. The second week, we learned this very clear thing that every New Testament epistle that speaks about giving at all was the byproduct of a natural disaster that happened. There was a famine that happened in the New Testament church, and that's where all of the text comes from about giving. And there were two things we learned about giving last week. Number one is this: let the Spirit direct your giving. The better way to give is to ask the Lord to interact with you and say, God, what is it you want me to give? And listen to the Holy Spirit. We didn't have this before. In the Old Testament, we didn't have the Holy Spirit within us, but we do now. And when we ask, we can be right on target in what we should give. And number three, this is it: trust in God and not your circumstances. Wow. Anybody ever been through something in your life? Anybody ever had a bad day? Anybody ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Anybody, anybody ever had bad breath ever? We all go through something one day or another, right? But there are things that we can trust in. One thing we can trust in is that God will always be with us no matter what we go through. And the church of Macedonia had that heart. Here's what they did, we read about in Corinthians. It said very simply that the church of Macedonia first gave themselves to the Lord. Then they gave their offerings to the church. The number one way to conquer your fear about giving is, number one, give your heart first to Jesus. When you give it to him and you trust him as the source of everything that you own and that he can take care of you, it's easy to give to the church. It's hard when you don't trust the Lord with your stuff. You're definitely not going to give anything to anyone else. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so today, we're excited because we're about to get into our third one and our third installment here. And I think this is one of the best ones because we're going to determine, how do you know what to give to God? How do you know when you come to church, okay, we talked about you should, and we got to conquer our fears, and we talked about that we should trust God when we give and not our circumstances. But But how much should we give to God? If we're not under the law and we don't have to give a certain percentage, how much should we give to God? Well, there is some incredible New Testament teaching on this topic, and I'd like you to flow with me, please. Write this down. This is point number one. Give progressively. Give as God has blessed you. Give progressively. Give as God has blessed you. Now, this is very important because we've got to realize that as God blesses us in our lifetime, we'll have more or we may have less at some times and more at other times. But as God begins to bless your life, we should progressively be giving. And we give according to where we are and how God has blessed us. Now, to prove this, let me go into the Old Testament and show you the Old Testament standard for giving of finances in the Old Testament. This is for all of us to learn from. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and I want you to turn to verse 17. Deuteronomy 16, verse 17. And can we all read together what's on the screen? Let's go. Say it again. Every man shall give as he is. Now, let me just stop there. This doesn't say how much you think you're able. This is as much as you are able, and then he qualifies. Moses literally qualifies it with the next verse, with the next statement. What's it say? In other words, it's not based on whether you feel like you have enough. What it is that God has blessed everybody in this room. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you have great heads of hair. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's all right. And then the Lord addeth and the Lord taketh away in some of us. But everybody gets blessed with something. Okay? God takes care of you. He takes care of your finances, your bills. Every one of us has been blessed. And the Bible says, according as you are able, according to the blessing that the Lord has blessed you with. That means it's a definite. Every one of us has something to offer to God. Everyone. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm talking about you. Turn to the other side and say, I'm talking about you too. Amen. Now, if that's in the Old Testament, did it change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So let's take a look at the New Testament text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, and see if it changed. Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. And this is going to be a foundation for where we're going to be working from today. I think this is a powerful passage. It said this Paul was collecting for the poor, and he comes and he says these words. He says, upon the first day of the week. Would you underline that, please? Upon the first day of the week. If you're looking at the screen, just take your finger and underline it with your finger. There, just like that. Upon the first day of the week. Am I reading right? Yes. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Underline that, please. And then it goes on to say, as God has prospered him. The same standard in the Old Testament is the same standard in the New. That it's not a set number. It is as God has prospered you. Many of us, you know, sometimes God gives us a gift, and I know many times, you know, sometimes I would get an unexpected amount of money, and I'm thinking, man, I can go do something with this. I know exactly what I've been wanting to buy, and then a need pops up over here, and I'm thinking, I was going to get that new stereo. I was going to get that new television. But God prospered me because there was a need coming down the pipeline. And as God prospered me, so I gave. Here's one thing I've learned in this text here. There are three things I want you to pay attention to. We're going to go back to on the first day of the week. What does that mean for you and I? Be consistent. Write that down. Be consistent. There's not a standard. There's a principle here. It says on the first day of the week. In other words, I want you to be regular and show continuity in your giving. That you should be consistent in your giving. It shouldn't just be every other week. You should be setting aside in your mind, I'm going to bring something to the Lord every week. I can tell you there is no such fun as being able to set aside in advance giving and looking out for those things you can do for God and fund for him. Say, God, I want to give towards this. There's nothing like that, having money set aside, already known that it's this is earmarked to do something great for Jesus. And unfortunately, though, many times, and many of us have been guilty of this, is that it's tragic that when we miss a week of church, we think, well, you know, I'll just show up the next Sunday and I'll give regularly. But we don't think, well, I'm not going to make up what I just missed. I'm just going to leave that as extra. And we think that God is saying, okay, hey, listen, I want you to think about this consistently, that if you're not here, the church still needs the finances, the poor still needs to eat, the lights still need to be on, they're hungry, still need to be fed, the rent needs to be paid by so many poor people in our city. But your giving could make the difference for them. But if you think your giving is just, when I come, then we miss the consistency. And God says, I can't do what I would love to do. So if you're gone for the summer, remember there is still work to be done. Be consistent. Set that aside every week so that it's something you do not touch. You say, this belongs to God. That is the New Testament principle. I love this verse, and many of you have heard it before. Psalms 104. Can we read this together? Let's read.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And into his courts with praise.
Yes. Uh-huh. Let's read that again. With. And watch this. When we enter into the presence of God, we always should have something with us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Bless his holy name and be thankful unto him. In other words, because of our gratitude, we always come before the Lord with something in our hand. We must be consistent. And please, please, I want you to repeat after me. Be consistent. Go.
Be consistent.
That's what the Lord would require from us. Now, that's just the first text. Now, let's look at what the next phrase is. It is, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Write this word down, this phrase down. Be deliberate. Not only be consistent, but God is calling us to be deliberate. Let every one of you, every person under the sound of my voice, we shared before that only a portion of our church even gives on a Sunday. It should be every one of us should be giving. As, watch this, and lay by him in store as God has prospered him. I love how the New Living Translation says it. You should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Now, this is a very incredible word here, deliberate. Deliberate means, comes from the word deliberation. It means to think about or to discuss issues and decisions carefully. What he's saying in the word is that when we think about becoming generous people, it's not happenstance. It's not just an accident. It is deliberate thinking. We are asking ourselves, God, what can I afford to give to you? What can I give to you today? How do I do this in a way that is healthy for both me and the church and my family? It is deliberation. You're thinking about it. In other words, the principle for the New Testament is that when you give, it ought to have some thought with it. Somebody say amen. This is very important because, you know, when you think about what has happened often in the church, you know, many of us don't even think about giving until the plate comes by. And then we kind of reach in and we throw something out. But the Lord says it should be a thought through process prior to arrival and giving to God. We should be giving to the Lord through a deliberation process. So church, I want to suggest to you that you take time and say, hey, God, I want to be a generous giver. But the way that I do that, I've got to really think about, what is it that I'm giving in? How can I do this? And let me set it aside that it doesn't get touched. That, you know, I may have 100 things go on, but if I only give to God at the end of my week after I've paid everything out, I have nothing left. And I say, well, God, next week. And it just continues. We must be deliberate. And finally, this is the third word. I want you to write this down. Be prepared. Everybody say that with me. Be
prepared.
Now, I love this. Paul, in this text, when he was talking to the church about coming and having something set aside and having it ready and give according to God has prospered you, keep it in store. And he said, I want you to have it ready at the first of the week. And his whole issue was, then you will not have to gather it all when I come. Now, isn't that interesting? Paul says, I don't want to waste any time when I'm collecting what you have ready. So that requires us to be deliberate, consistent, and prepared. Now, why is that? Why is that so important? Because everyone close your eyes for me. We're going to do a little poll here. How many, if you've ever gone to church, whether this church or any church in your life, one Sunday didn't give because you left your wallet at home or left your money at home? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. That's amazing. How many maybe have gone to church and didn't fill out an envelope because you couldn't find a pen in time to get it done? Raise your hand. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of hands. Okay, don't look up. Don't cheat. Don't cheat. How many people didn't give because the offering just went too fast? Have you ever done that before? Anybody ever done that before? Amen. I want you to look at me. Close your eyes. One more. This is good. How many have not given because you didn't have change? That's hilarious. Oh, you can look at me. That's a lot of people, guys. That's a lot of people. Now, here's the thing, guys. What if everybody in this place were prepared to give? What if you had a $50 bill and you wanted to give $35? And you stop at the Speedway and you get you change before you come to church? Listen, I'm not making giving hard. Can we just have fun with it for a minute? Can we just be real? Listen, we've got to be prepared, because oftentimes when we're not prepared, we go, next time. But you don't know what's happening this time. You don't know what the need is. You don't know what's going on. I mean, John Bates is my executive minister. Let's give a hand for John and all he does and his beautiful wife. Amen. John every week gets requests for people for benevolence, and it all depends on how much we're able to give towards that. But it's about giving. So your giving matters. Your giving, whether you give or do not give, actually matters. So the question goes back to, how much should I give? I want you to finish this phrase for me, if you will. Give more so you can. All right, let me say it again. Give more so you can. How many believe it's give more so you can get more? Well, you just said it. Who's not raising a hand? The whole church said it. Okay, let's try it again. Give more so you can. All right, now if you said it, it is his church, right? This is a tell the truth place, right? Let me say this. There's an old paradigm that is not a New Testament paradigm. The old paradigm is you give more so you can get more. Give more so you can get more. And I will tell you that is not the truth. I need to tell you that. I want you to write this down. Give more so you can give more. That is the truth. You give more so you can. Now, it's true. If you give more, you will get more. That is true. Because the Bible says this. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We know if you give, you're going to get. We know this. You know, hand me my soda right here. This is my Mountain Dew. Come here, John. Don't go anywhere. Okay? The Bible says, don't go anywhere. The Bible says, give, and it will be what?
Given to you.
Uh-huh, read.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Praise God.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, John. It's your blessing.
I'm giving it to you today,
no,
Pastor.
Now, watch this. The whole idea is that you give more, because when you give more, it, watch this, it's pressed down, good measure, shaken together. It's going to do what? Run over. Right? You're going to get a little bit more. Right? Thank you, John. I won't open it right now. For watch this. For with the same measure you meet, it will be measured to you again. So when you give more, you get more. Yes, that's true. The Bible says it, so it's true. But is that the whole concept? There's a reason we get more. We get more not to hoard to advance our goals, but to advance God's goals. The reason he gives to you is so that you may advance the kingdom of God. Can I give God a hand clap of praise? Now, this is true. The reason why so many people fall into so many issues is because they think they're getting more to absorb it into their life. Let me show you of a man who did this. If you were turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse 15, it's going to tell you the story. Let me give you a backdrop. There was a man, he was pretty wealthy. Things were working out for him. God was blessing him. I mean, God was really blessing him. He had some property, and he was a good man, and he had a lot of stuff, and he was growing. His crops were growing. He just kept getting more and more, and he started getting happy about it. He started thinking, well, this is good. This is good for me. It was the rich man who did this, saw wealth as a conduit to advance his personal goals. And here's what he said in verse 15. It says, and he said to them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples about to tell this story. He says, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness, meaning hoarding on the stuff. Whether it's money, car, home, time, effort, energy. He says, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Wow. You mean to tell me having 2 and 3 cars, a big house, a mansion, having me 2 puppies and a poodle, and you know, and I got people following me around talking about this is my crib and this is my house and this and that isn't everything? You mean there's more to life than that? Having the newest car, motorcycle, television, it's bigger than that? Are you kidding me? You mean my possessions don't make me who I am? That's what Jesus said. Isn't that true? Yes. Jesus says, how much money you make and how much stuff you have don't make you. Listen to what he goes on. He tells the story of this man gathered all this stuff. But I want you to go down to verse 19. And I'm going to tell you what the man said after he gathered all his stuff, because he was thinking about himself. He says, the man said, and I will say to my soul, soul, he was talking to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. It wasn't even Christmas. But I need you to look at verse 20. This man thought this is what it's all about. But verse 20 hit him. Let's read. But God. Now hold on. You never want to have a but God moment in your life. Come on, somebody. No, but you do not want a but God moment in your life. Read. Go back. But God. Woo! Look at that. It says, now, you big dummy, as they say from Sanford and Son. You big dummy. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Look at all this stuff you got. Now you're about to die. Tonight's your night to go. Listen, he didn't say he was angry. He said, you foolish man. My plan, this was supposed to go to other people. But you held it all. Now who gonna get your stuff? Other people. Because they're gonna find you in bed and they're gonna sneak out with your best stuff. He says, what all the stuff you provided for yourself, was it all about you? The blessings I gave you, why did you think it was for you to hoard and say, I'm going to build me another barn. I'm just going to hoard it all. No. Look what he says in the next verse. Verse 21. Read. And is not, the key here is towards himself versus towards God. Yes, you give more so you can get more, but it's not for you to have more. It's to give more. Now I'm going to prove that to you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. We must see wealth and our finances as a conduit to advance the kingdom of God. That's the reason why he gives us so much, so that we can be a blessing. And if you're not a giver, I want you to become one. Because you don't even know the joy that comes along with this stuff unless you start giving. Look at verse 6. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, if we would. Can we turn there? They're awesome. My awesome tech team. I want to encourage you as they get ready for that. If you're not serving somewhere, we need some great greeters. We would love to have some greeters at our door. And if you got a smile and at least one or two teeth, that would be awesome. I mean, if you got to put it in and then just. Verse 6. This is what Paul says. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds, guys, will get a small crop. If you're not very generous, generosity will not come back. Look what it says. But the one who plants what? Will get a? If you're a generous person in your giving, even in the church, and you're willing to give and trust God to do something amazing with your finances, God will generously bless you, not just, let's continue, and I'll show you how he's going to do it. Okay, look at verse 7. This is what God requires of each of you. Look, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. No more threats. No more scare tactics. No more fear tactics. Fearless giving the generous way. God doesn't want anybody in this place to have fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. And giving must be by faith. The New Testament standard isn't that if you don't give me 10%, you're cursed with a curse. Even you and the whole house of this whole nation, you're cursed. I don't know about you, but that scares me. No. Jesus died on the cross in Galatians chapter 3 that the curse of the law would be nailed to that cross. That we are no longer condemned by the law. And he says, now I'm giving you a heart to hear my spirit. And I want you to ask what to give. Work with me. And I will tell you exactly what the church needs. And you'll always give it just in time. And I'll give you an example of that. Look at this. He says, you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response. I need you to take your wallets out right now. I need you to pull out your $50 bill right now. Put your wallets up in the air. Let me get them right now. I said right now. Nobody moved. Am I even effective? Everybody was like, what you talking about? No pressure. Can I help somebody today? Listen, you send in your $50. God said, if you're watching television right now, you're to send in that $50 seed. And you bring in that $50 seed, I'm going to give you a piece of my cloth from Israel. It's come from the land of Israel. I'll take a string right off the edge of this thing. This belongs to you. I'll put it there. You just put it on your forehead, and the blessings of the Lord shall come upon you and overtake you. Tune in next week for Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Can I help somebody, please? Is it still there? It's not there, is it? Look at your neighbor and say, foolishness.
Foolishness.
Come on, guys. People calling up, blowing up the phone, you know, getting long distance charges on your phone. You know you ain't got nothing but a track phone. Just hang up. Come on, man. You go to church every Sunday. If you just give where you are, if we learn to give where we are, because God put you here on purpose, this is your circle of influence. Why would you not give where you are? That water ain't gonna make you no more blessed than you already are. Look at the verse. It says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8. And God, this is the key. Listen, church. This is the breakthrough verse. You give more so you can give more. You give more so you can give more. You give more. So if you're lacking, give more. Seriously, try it. See if it works. Give more so you can give more. Why? Because of this verse right here. And God will generously provide. Are you kidding me? You mean if I give to somebody else or I give, God will take care of not just a couple of my needs. Now, do you think if you can't provide for all your needs, don't you need a little help from God? So he's not looking for generosity in an amount. He's looking for generosity in the heart. And if you can just give generously, God says, okay, I know you can't meet your bills. I'll take care of the rest. I'll provide for all you need. But watch this. You give more so you can give more. Then you will always have everything you need. Somebody say, and. Somebody say, and. Somebody say, I don't know about you, but that and is pretty important. I don't want just enough. I want the and in my life. I need and plenty left over to share with
others.
Come on, church. Praise Jesus that he's made a way for us not only to have enough to take care of everything we need, but he'll give us enough to help somebody else. We give more so that we can give more. That's the New Testament principle. I'm not talking about the one at school. It's a bad joke. I'll close out with this. Number three, give intentionally. When you give, church, give intentionally to God. I mean, be bold, fearless. Listen, if fear resides in your area of giving, you've got to conquer that joker and be fearless. Don't let that poison go into your system. Say, no, I'm going to try God. I'm going to give to him until I got so much left over I can give to others. You got to be fearless. You got to give intentionally. Too often our giving is reactive when we're asked or when we receive an appeal letter from somebody. But can I tell you how you can really get joy? Your maximum joy in your giving comes when you intentionally go on the hunt to where you can give. Man, there's nothing like that when you can do something like that. We need to live with these three things: an open mind, an open heart, and open hands. Let me say that again. We need to live with three things: open minds, open hearts, and open hands, so that God could use us and bless other people through us. Let me give you a new and exciting way to think as we get ready to close out. It's a new and exciting way to think about your giving. If I wait until I'm asked to give, I've waited too long. That's an exciting way to think. If I wait until I'm asked to give, I have waited too long. Our goal is to be so spiritually in tune with God that we are like hound dogs. We recognize needs and opportunities before we're even approached to help. We come forward and we live like that, where we say, how can I bless somebody? How can I give to the church? How can I help? How can I be a blessing? And then you hit the radar on God's map. That's how you hit God's radar. I want to tell you how to hit his heart. Start at hunting ways to give more to other people. And you'll hit his map every single time. You know, I was excited this week. We had a person in our church who stepped up, and we talked about our gas card giveaway. And they donated $500 to our gas card giveaway. Come on, let's give them a hand. I simply made the appeal, if anyone would like to give towards that, let me know. And they sent in a check for $500. Now, that was very important because we didn't realize that the amount of schools we were doing, we decided to do 4 schools. We did 2 last week. And we realized that without that $500, we would have ran out last week. But let me tell you the power of someone's generosity. Can I read to you what was written from someone who was a recipient of the gas cards? I want to read it to you and show you that being a generous church. And here's what we did. We went on the hunt for where we can be a blessing to the people and the parents of our city. We didn't wait to be asked. We didn't go to the school and say, what's the need? We went on the hunt and we said, okay, you know what? These parents need a little support. Here's what we're going to do. And we dedicated thousands of dollars to be able to bless parents of our city. I want to read to you the response we got just this week. This was written by someone who came through Leesburg High School as we were giving out the touch cards. Here's what they said. I was touched by an act of kindness from members of, and forgive me if I get the name wrong because I saw it on their shirts, but I think it's Frontier Church. They were handing out gift cards for gas to parents in the pickup line at Leesburg High School and thanking us for all we do for our families. It honestly blew me away. Here is another thing I have witnessed from afar from this church, and that is its diversity of their congregation. If you have ever seen them walking in the parade, you see people of all ages and colors. And I can honestly say, I don't know anything about their teachings, but they have something right. And that is that we as a community are best when we come together in service and unity. Imagine if Leesburg as a community came together in the same way this church seems to. What we could accomplish. I have a wonderful church family that I already belong to. But if I didn't, you better believe I would make a visit to this church. Thank you for the gas card, but even more, thank you for inspiring me today. Generous. It's about being a generous church. That's what we are. But it begins at home. We first are generous as a people. I want to go in conclusion and say this to you. Are you ready to get positioned and to become proactive, to experience fearless generosity? If you're ready, would you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to be fearless in my giving. Church, I want to say, if your answer is yes, fasten your seatbelts because you're about to begin the most joyful ride of your life. Would you stand and give God a great hand clap of praise? We are excited. I want to encourage everyone.